I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto.
Good evening, Vashon Island. This is the Cats and Jammer Follies, and I'm your host, Megan Hastings. Today on the show, we have my dear friend, Massimo Divolo, a native of a town outside of Naples called Castellammare di Stabia. And we are going to talk to Massimo today about growing up in Italy in the 1970s and 80s and what that was all about. Massimo, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Megan. How you doing?
I'm
Hello,
good.
Hello, Vashon. Everyone is okay there?
Everybody's okay here. Massimo's been to Vashon a couple of times. He currently resides in Chicago, Illinois, though.
Yes. Wonderful, cold, freezing Chicago.
Is it cold already yet?
It's going to snow maybe Friday, but, you know, it was a great November for Chicago. Not too much rain or snow or cold, so I cannot complain.
I know how much you love the cold, and I know how much you love the rain in particular.
especially if you remember the first time I came to see you was in probably November of 1999 or...
No, you came long before that. The first time... Oh,
yeah,
you
yeah,
mean...
But that was the cold, the first time I had the Chicago cold. I stayed in the house for 3 days straight because I couldn't put my head outside the door. I thought I was walking in a prison. Well, that's a true story. I'm like, you guys are out of your mind to live in this place. And after I was able to walk for like probably 100 yards around the house, I'm like, oh, that's not that bad. I don't feel my nose. I don't feel my toes. But okay.
Well, I have to say, there was one time that I went back for a visit to Chicago, and they had a news advisory to like literally not go outside for like the whole week that we were there on vacation. And I thought, well, hell's bells, why am I here?
That's so funny because, and, you know, at that time I thought like, oh, now I see why everyone loves Italy. It's never this cold.
it's never that cold. Mm-mm. I want to talk to you about Italy, come to think of that. First off, I'd like to say how I know Massimo. When I was an exchange student there a million years ago in the 1980s, his family, his beautiful mother, Rita, has this crazy blonde hair, and she's full of life and just so fun. And she, I don't even know how, but decided to host an American exchange student, and it was my friend, Hetty, who I'd been.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that come about? How is it that you guys... hosted exchange students.
I mean, if you remember Santina, the one that was in charge of the upside, there was an exchange chapter of it, the Italian place where you decide where to go. She got all these kids in the kind of a resort in around Rome, and we came to see you guys.
Yeah, and we were in a town called Colle di Tora.
Colle di Tora. That was a beautiful...
It's
I remember
beautiful.
The place there. You guys have so much time and going around and meeting with the locals. Everyone was very welcoming.
Oh, my God. It was so wonderful.
Especially the boys, right? With the girls.
Oh, yeah. Boy. That was a crash course on how Italian gentlemen love American ladies.
Hey, what are you doing? Are you coming out tonight?
It was definitely a good time. And so your family hosted Hetty for a year.
My family hosted Hetty. She was supposed to be just for 1 year, and she ended up staying for probably 9. So she decided to live with us and start in Italy. And so we kind of, she's our adopt
adopted sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she, she's come on this radio show before with me when she had her first book published, and now she has her second one that is just being published.
Yeah, the second one talks about my mom.
Is it? I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, it's called Americana, the American Woman. And it's about how Hedy find this great connection with my mother, with us, and how that helped her to grow as a woman, as a girl, from and how to embrace the Italian culture, going, you know, through the highs of, like, you know, 16 years old girl from America, from Washington, D.C.
And at that point in time in Napoli, there weren't a lot of Americans there.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of you know, I don't know, a lot of people, they love to just come to Italy. In the 80s or 90s, there was like a lot of this exchange, like people was coming to Italy to study for 1 year. Italians were going to America. Most of them were going to rural America. I remember some of our exchange students, they were in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Montana.
Yeah, I've heard.
It was a very good way to,
cross-cultures.
I love that.
And I've always pined to know what Italy was like from an earlier standpoint, and I feel like I did get to know it as a young person from a long time ago. But what was it like? What would be the differences between, like, I mean, what was your time like growing up? What year are you born?
In Italy, I think it's one of the greatest places to be a teenager growing up, because you build a relationship, they are long lasting. It's your friendship, when you have those friendships with the same kids, you go to, you know, elementary school, high school. It's something that lasts forever. My friends in Italy, the one I grew up with, they're still my friends now.
Yeah.
We talk about now 40 years later.
Yeah, Italians don't really move around the same way that Americans do.
No, that's the part. Right now, things are a little different. In Italy, there's a little more of a young generation moving around, coming to America, going to other places, in Germany. But before, it was very rare that the Italian were going to other places just to experiment the culture. People was migrating for work, you know, the big Italian migration that happened at the beginning of the century or the 60s or the 40s that built all this Italian community in America. Now it's different, it's a little different. That was a beautiful place to grow up in Italy, because you really live the life as every day is a new day. You know, you have your friends, you go hang out with them, you go to school, you're out, you spend,
yeah,
you do things, and you're free. You know, you're free to do.
Well, can you describe to us what Castellammare di Stabia is like, and describe, like,
Castellammare is one of the most beautiful places. I mean, it's a nestle in this, like, you have the mountains on the back, it's called Mount Faito. You have the Vesuvio in front of you. It's like a little gulf. You can see Naples. You can see Procida, Ischia, Capri. Those three islands that are part of a Gulf of Naples. You go like 10 minutes, you go to Sorrento, Amalfi. So it was a beautiful place to grow up. Every summer, I remember, soon the school was over, we were on our foot, on our bicycle, going to the beach. And we were going there like 10 o'clock in the morning, going back home at 6 at night by ourselves, you know.
Sounds just heavenly.
Like just, and be together, like this group of kids enjoying life. And at the same time, you have to just remember in the 90s, in the 80s, there was soon after the big earthquake in Naples, there was something that really changed a little the landscape.
What year was that?
1980. There was a big earthquake, one of the biggest in Italy. There were more than almost 3,000 dead people, and Castellammare was affected. I remember the night, that's a kind of funny story, a little sad, but because that night I was all my kids, my friends, and we were watching a game, a soccer game, as like having a good Sunday, and suddenly I see all the kids where this my friend's house watching the game, and suddenly I see everyone running away. And I'm like, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, hey, man, whoa, run, run, earthquake. I'm like, seriously? And I go out, and you see, like, all the people in the street. And but the things about that, everyone came together. We all went to the to find a place where to stay outside. We went to the train station. We all organized. And, you know, we were together.
Massimo, how old were you when that happened?
I was 16.
So did you feel it or you just heard it?
I didn't feel it. I saw the things moving on the table, but I thought that my friends were playing a game. A lot of people, it was pretty high. It was like 7.8.
Wow, that's big. Yeah,
it was pretty big. I mean, my house, my family house, cracked. I went back home, and the house had like 3 or 4 big cracks. You can see through the cracks. So we were not able to sleep in the house until probably a month later. So we were staying at the train station. We had like a little camp there. But
so it was like a whole camp.
Yeah, we were sleeping in the train cars. You know, it was like an adventure. It was a really fun adventure. Besides, it was pretty bad because it took like more than 15 years to
rebuild that area.
Yeah. And then that was the time when the Camorra, you know, the
mafia.
That's a neighborhood called Camorra.
Yeah.
If you guys ever see the show Camorra, that's where it started to be big because all the money that was infused in the area to rebuild was kind of controlled by the organized crime. So it was a pretty exciting time to grow up there, but at the same time, there was a kind of a violent things going on that you could feel every day.
Can you still feel that in Naples, you think?
Better. It's the Camorra is still there, never going away. It's just a different way how it operated.
Yeah.
It's less violent, less dangerous, smarter. You know, the mining, it comes from different things. You know, there's more political connection, you know.
Yeah, it's more civilized.
Let's say that. That's a good way to put it. But at the same time, it's all about making money.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
Take advantage. So, but I grew up with, you know, knowing that you know people. And you have to be careful you talk to or who you step the toe on someone and you just shouldn't, you know. So at 16, 17 years, learn fast how to survive.
Massimo, we're going to play one of these songs.
Con la chitarra in mano, lasciatemi cantare. Sono un italiano. Buongiorno Italia, gli spaghetti al dente. E un partigiano come presidente. Con l'autoradio sempre nella mano destra. Un canarino sopra la finestra. Buongiorno Italia con i tuoi artisti. Con troppa America sui manifesti. Con le canzoni, con amore, con il cuore, con più donne, sempre meno suore. Buongiorno Italia, buongiorno Maria, con gli occhi pieni di malinconia. Buongiorno Dio, sai che ci sono anch'io.
Massimo, that's a beautiful song. Will you tell us about it?
That song was like probably the national item of the Italian when they were going, traveling outside the country, you know.
What's the name? It's called L'Italiano?
L'Italiano, you know, was like what the stereotype of the Italian going, you know, play music, it's nice, it has like this philosophical approach to life. And, you know, it's a very easy, that's called Italian easy pop, with with these songs where they talk about love and what part of your life you grow, and you're always listening those songs, and you feel always that kind of warm inside your heart.
It's a beautiful song. I was just saying to Jeff, the producer, I was like, I don't know that song. It's so beautiful. I'm going to have to go home and listen to it. I want to ask you a couple questions. Fast forward to the present day. Massimo has two beautiful little girls, Chiara and Gabriella. And you are with a woman who is American Italian, and her parents come from Italy. And
yes.
You and your mother, Rita, this infamous Rita that everybody is in love with, she yes. is there living with you guys and helping out. And so do the girls speak Italian at home? In Chicago?
Yes, they speak Italian because they interact with my mom that doesn't really speak English. So the only way for them to communicate with Nonna, my grandma, her grandmother, their grandmother is Italian. And my mom made a point of teaching them Italian because she wants them to know two languages, because I believe that's very important.
I agree with you.
I remember my first time is in the States, I didn't really speak English, because in Italy, we don't really teach second language. You know, it was very rare that you learn a second language. I learned my English when I came when the exchange students came, Hedy, you guys, I was trying to speak with you. But when I came to the States, it took almost 2 years for me to feel comfortable.
I remember the first time you came to the United States, yeah. And you and Hedy came to Chicago to visit.
Yep, I remember that. I felt always left outside because you guys blah, 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 in English. I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? And I was catching some sentences and stuff, and it was hard for you always to translate or try to speak in Italian because it's easy.
Sure.
Speaking English.
Of course it is. One of my favorite memories of you, and I don't even know if you remember this, it's so long ago, but Massimo owns this beautiful restaurant in Chicago that we love to go to every time that we're there, called Due Lire. It's delicious. But one of my first memories of like meeting you, going to see Hedy, and you made some food, and it was literally just like, it was like you had nothing and you made this meal that was just so beautiful. And I remember it was one of the first times I met you and I was like, who is this person? Why is this so good? And there was Massimo's family.
I think did you come at my house?
Yeah.
I remember the day. I was just looking in the fridge and say whatever we had. But that's the way we grew up in Italy. Whatever we have in the fridge, we use it. We make something great, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the Italian cookie.
And there was a turtle that would roam around the floor in the kitchen.
And eating pasta. Don't forget, we fed pasta to the turtle. And she was the happiest turtle in the world.
Naples is an amazing city. And I got to drive around a lot with Massimo. He took me out to Sorrento. We went to the Amalfi Coast. I haven't gone back in a lot of years.
Scenery. The nature there is amazing. The views, the panoramic scenic point, where you can go up and you see the sea, you see the whole mountains, the coastline. But that's what people fall in love and go to Italy, besides the fact that it's a great food, the nice people, the nature, the views are amazing.
They are amazing.
The art. And it's an easy way to live, sometimes too easy, but it's what is. You know, that's the beauty of growing up there when I was in that time.
Oh, yeah. No, you're very blessed to have grown up there. In fact, it was funny. The first time Massimo ever came to visit me here on Vashon Island, I was like, oh, I wanted to show him around, and I was new here, and I was like, oh, let's go to this beach. And we went to this beach here, and he turned to me and said in Italian, he's like, come on. I mean, we know real beaches. Referring to beaches.
Okay, beach. I mean, with goats. The goats run around, but I was like, okay, that's a couple of rocks with you know, if you compare it to the beach of La Regina Giovanna in Sorrento or Traiano, Positano, it's just the scenery right there.
It's all right there. Yeah, it's beautiful. We're going to play one more song that you chose, and it is a song called Gloria.
Yeah, that's about love.
Is this the original version, or is this a cover of Gloria, Massimo?
I believe that's the original version. I think last time I heard this song was probably 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So this was a summer. This is a summer song. You were going to the beach. There was a big jukebox, and when you like a girl, you put the money in and for Gloria. You hope that every girl would name Gloria. Serenade. Like, no, what's your name? Maria. Oh, bad. Okay, Gloria's okay.
Everybody's Gloria.
Yeah, everybody was Gloria that summer. But it's about, you know, this woman is everything in the air. It's part of the air. Melts the snow. You can wake up and see the sunset on her. Umberto Tozzi is a very good singer. He does pop, a little more rock than Toto Cutugno. So it was a little more edgy. But it still is a love song. And that's what Italian love.
Oh, it's nothing better.
Music. It's about love. Everything's love. Love the music, love the food, love the people, you know.
Speaking of food, I want to talk to you for a minute, because everybody, of course, loves Italian food. But will you tell us, at your restaurant, Due Lire, what are some of the very, very specific, like, Napolitani dishes that you serve?
I do the gnocchi, homemade gnocchi. So gnocchi is this potato dumpling, and you put a little parmigiano inside, a little ricotta, and you do by hand, and you roll it. That's the first
thing I've ever done.
Yep. And that's, you know, my love for cooking came by the fact that every Sunday in Italy, you have the big Sunday lunch with all the family. And my grandma and my mom, they were always cooking. And my role was, I think I was around five, six, just enough to get on the counter. And the first thing they let me do was to roll the gnocchi, the gnocchi dough. And I was so excited to get the flour from me, rolling that thing, cutting them. And that's where, like, wow, I love this.
Oh, that's such a nice visual, little five-year-old rolling out the gnocchi.
Helping. And always I was waiting for the Sunday to do something with them.
Do you cook like that at home?
Sorry?
Do you cook like that at home with the girls?
Oh, yeah. We cook, we make pizza together, pancakes, we do pasta, I make them cut tomatoes, cheese. I try to, you know, get them involved in that thing. That it's the moment, the same moment I grew up with your family, making lunch or dinner together. It's a little harder with the, you know, right now the life gets too fast. That's
yeah,
one
of course.
Thing. In Italy, it's different. The pace of life is a little slower, so you have more time to enjoy and create those special memories.
Have you taken them back to Castellammare?
When they were little. When Gabby was probably 7, 8 months or 9 months, and Chiara was like 3. And that was the last time I took them. You know, with the pandemic, it was hard to even plan that. But we're planning to go next year because they want to see all the cousins. They want to see all the part of the family they never met because all my family is in Italy.
Aside from Rita, that's it. It's just you guys, yeah.
Yeah, but I have to say that I have a lot of acquired family here. I have beautiful people like Megan and her sister Deidre and Jennifer and people that are my family. I consider them my family.
You better consider me family. You gave me away at my wedding.
Yes. Yeah, I remember the wedding. Came to there and cooked for all everyone. Like,
oh, it was the best wedding food ever, I think.
Well, yeah, it came out pretty well, and people was happy, and it was very nice to see you be in such beautiful relationship and love with Adam. And I'm like, man, she's so lucky.
Aww.
I have to make her even better.
Massimo, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. Anytime. I hope you will come to visit soon.
I hope that you do. And if not, I will see you in Chicago. Or maybe I'll meet you in Napoli.
That would be even better.
I know. Ciao, ciao, Massimo. Ciao.
Ciao.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you so much. I'm Megan Hastings, and this has been the Cats and Jammer Follies. Thank you for listening.